have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to open up once again to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to begin our study tonight at verse 1. Before we do that, let's go ahead and pray for Lolly and these upcoming journeys, all these different types of journeys that Lolly's going to be on. So let's go ahead and pray. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you for the way that you work miracles. And we ask now that as Lolly has been quick to give you praise for what you have done, we ask that you would even now prepare all of the way for her. Lord, we pray for her travel to Tennessee, San Diego, Mexico. And then, Lord, there will be a return trip home. And so we ask that you'd be with that type of a journey. And then, Father, she has to have this additional surgery on the other knee. And we ask now that you would be with her on that journey, that you would be with surgeons, nurses, technicians, all of those who will minister to her. Give them your wisdom and your discernment. Let them do all things well. And let Lolly be restored to full health very quickly. And we'll give you praise, for it is in your name that we pray. Amen. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2. This chapter is an interesting chapter because it brings out some of, how do we say this? Peter was very good at taking Old Testament prophecies and scriptures and relating them to the person of Jesus, and really helped. If you go through the book of Acts and you go to the second chapter where Peter stands up and he preaches that amazing sermon on the day of Pentecost where there are thousands converted to Christ, you see how he took all of these Old Testament prophecies and demonstrated how they fit the person of Christ. And in this chapter, Peter does some of that very same type of thing. He takes some obscure prophecies about Christ and helps to bring them to light. And sometimes we look at this stuff and we just kind of shake our heads and we go, I don't get this at all. I don't get this at all. But if we just take it easy and look through it, we begin to see how Peter is tying together these prophecies with the person of Christ and then our inclusion in that whole scheme and that whole plan that God has established. So let's begin to look at this. Peter begins this chapter by telling the body of Christ, and remember, he is writing to Jews who are dispersed throughout the world. And in particular, if you'll remember from chapter 1, verse 1, he's looking at Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and he's looking at those areas. That's who the letter is addressed to. But it is inclusive all the way through to the new Israel, which is the body of Christ. But Peter, in addressing his target audience, is addressing mostly the Jews of that day, even though it is applicable to you and I. His direct audience is the Jews. And he's trying to bring a sense of unity into the body of Christ by changing mindsets, by changing prejudices, and trying to help the Jews that are dispersed in those areas, trying to help them realize they have a responsibility to live lives in such a fashion that the Gentiles who look at them will begin to realize who Jesus really is. And so it's kind of interesting the way that Peter ties this together. And so let's look at it. beginning with verse 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Now, in that first sentence, he is just kind of letting people know, look, I closed out these last couple of paragraphs. And of course, he didn't write this in chapters. He wrote it like a letter, all right? But we're going to say in chapter 1. As he looked at that, he was talking about unity within the body of Christ and love, and how love needs to be the foremost aspect. And then you come to this, and he says, all right, I've talked about this love thing, therefore. And remember what we've said, whenever a chapter starts out with the word therefore, we have to do what? Go back and see what it's there for. All right? That's an easy way to remember that. We want to see what it's there for. And so he says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Because these areas were a vital part of the genetic makeup of Israel. It was a part of their prejudices. They thought that they were superior because they were the ones who were chosen by God. They thought they were better. They thought they knew more. And consequently, they had all kinds of things that they did as they made their pronouncements against Gentiles. You'll remember that one of the favorite names that the Jews had for the Gentiles was dogs. You Gentile dogs. When you read historical documents of the time, you find that that is the way that they referred to the Gentiles. They didn't refer to them nationally. It was just an international thing. If you're not a Jew, you're a dog. And that's simply the way that they handled things. And so Peter's telling them, look, you got to put that stuff away. You got to get away from that. Get away from that mindset. And he says, and like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word. When a baby is born, how many people here, the very first meal that they gave their brand new baby, gave them steak? I don't see one hand. Didn't love your kids? What's the problem? What's the problem? You didn't give them steak? Why? Why didn't you start them off with steak? I mean, let's face it, nature's most perfect foods are steak and ice cream. Right? Those are the most perfect foods ever created. Wouldn't you want your child to have the best? So you start them off with steak. Right? Randy?
They're gonna
gag. Why would they gag? Oh, they're not ready? They're not developed enough? See, as Peter is looking at his audience who has this superior attitude, he says, man, you guys aren't ready for this thing called love. You're not prepared for this because of the guile and the malice that you have towards other people, and in particular the people where you are living, in Pontus and Cappadocia and Asia and so on. And so you're looking at these people in the wrong fashion. You're not looking at them as a mission field. You are looking at them as controlling dogs. And you've got to get over that. And so put that stuff aside and go to the simple elements of the Word of God, the very beginning stuff. Aren't you glad that when God begins to work with our hearts, He doesn't make us, for example, understand all prophecy right out of the box? I'm glad. You know, that'd be one more thing to fight over. Instead, what does God do? He opens up the Word, and Val, very wise, Val, very wise to direct your friend to the Gospel of John. Why? Because it's the gospel of belief. All right? And belief is what begins our spiritual journey. Beginning with that very concept of believing in Christ and the fact that He is the way to life. And so that's what Peter's saying here. He's saying, look, the milk. You're not ready for the meat yet. Do the milk thing. Just like we do with our children when they first start out. And that's exactly how Peter thought of the New Testament church. These are his kids. All right? He is God's kid. These are his kids. That's why he takes this seriously. Okay, now moving on to verse 4. And coming to him, and him in your Bible should be capitalized. And it's sad if it's not. And I know some translations don't do that. But it's tragic because you can get real confused, especially in a passage like this. I'll show you why. But him here should be capitalized because he's talking about Jesus. And so he's saying, and coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. Isn't it interesting who it is that's writing this? And what was the declaration that Jesus Christ made to him? You are a rock. Peter, you remember the situation? Jesus is talking with the disciples. He says, who's God say I, or who do the people say I am? Well, some say that you're Isaiah or Ezekiel or one of the prophets and that kind of thing. And he goes through and he says, okay, who do you say that I am? And Peter boldly proclaims, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, Peter, attaboy. For God revealed this to you. You are now, it's an interesting thing because we miss it sometimes. The word actually is stone that is used there. Jesus Christ is the rock upon which the foundation of the church is built. Peter is the cornerstone, a stone in the building that is built on the foundational rock of Christ Jesus. And so as Peter looks at this, he says, now look, you're going to come to him as a living stone, rejected by men. Which, did people reject Jesus Christ? Yeah, people rejected Jesus Christ. But he says, but choice and precious in the sight of God. You want to know something? If men reject it, chances are God accepts it. Look at our society today. I received a thing on Facebook today, and I wouldn't watch it because I was informed that it was blasphemous to begin with. But there was a thing that was put on Saturday Night Live last night that was blasphemous against Jesus because it according to the description, showed him coming back to get even with the Romans. And it portrayed him as a gun-carrying, sword-carrying murderer who just gunned people down and cut some guy's head off and that kind of thing. And that was their portrayal of Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's the way Hollywood views Jesus. That's the way the media, the social media, that's the way that people think when it comes to these people that are perverted and perverse in their minds. And it's blasphemous to God. You see, to them, Jesus is rejected. And his plan is rejected. And his program is rejected. And the world wants nothing to do with him. God wants something to do with him. God views him not as something to be rejected, but as something that is precious. You remember the declarations that God made to Jesus several times? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Listen to what he has to say. What did man cry? Crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Kill Jesus. He was the stone that was rejected. He was rejected by mankind. How did God view him? As precious. As a jewel. Verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. There it is. Jews who have received Jesus Christ, who are dispersed throughout these areas, you are dispersed for the purpose of being a part of the priesthood. But be holy. A holy part of the priesthood. And so you are to declare good things about Jesus Christ to these people that you have to live among. And it's kind of interesting. Drop down with me for a few moments. I want to show you something. Verse 11 and 12. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust which wage against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Catch that? He's telling them up above here, you are a holy priesthood. You are the keepers and the sharers of the good news of God. That's why the people of Israel were chosen by God. They were chosen not to be secretive or to be a secret society or to be a silent society. They were chosen to be a priesthood, to carry the good news of God into the world. And Peter's fighting to overcome the prejudices and the arrogance of the Jews in thinking we're special. Yeah, we're all special. But it's important for us to realize we're special for a purpose. Not because of who we are, but because of who He is. We are to declare Him, and that's what Peter's telling the people that are spread out, scattered throughout these regions. Now, let's go back up. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now catch this. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 16. And he who believes in Him shall not be disappointed. That's an interesting thing. Because the Jews, what did they look at? They looked at the temple of God as being this precious place. When in reality, God's idea was Christ. And in Him is the foundation of spiritual life. In Him is the help and the hope. Now look at verse 7. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, now look at this. The stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. The love of God shared through Jesus Christ and the salvation of man has become offensive to the world. That's why the world reacts so much in the way they do. That's why Saturday Night Live has the gall to blaspheme Jesus Christ on their TV show because they've rejected the stone of God. They have rejected the foundation of life and eternal life. They have rejected all that God has established. And that's the way of the world. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a time when Jesus Christ is going to come back. And those who have rejected are going to suffer for eternity. And they're going to dread every breath they take in that eternal place of separation from God. Because they rejected the stone. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. You see, to the world, Jesus Christ is offensive because He infringes on their choices. And in His infringement of their choices, He places upon them personal responsibility and accountability for the decisions they make. When the world chooses to go against the teachings of God, they are writing their own death sentence. And that's offensive to them. When you begin to ring out the sound that says abortion is murder, how does the world respond? That's my right! That's my choice! Don't you infringe upon my choice! If I want to murder that unborn fetus, and you notice it changes from a child to a fetus, it's not quite the same. You know, it's not as offensive when it's a mass or a fetus as it is to think we're killing a child. And they shake their fist in the face of God because Jesus has become offensive because he's all about life. He is all about us having eternal life. He is all about us being able to live life. But they don't want the infringement. Don't you tell me I can't abort my child. Don't you tell me I shouldn't smoke marijuana. Don't you tell me I shouldn't take drugs. Don't you tell me, you know, whatever the issue is. Because Jesus is a stumbling block. And that stumbling block is righteousness. And how he proclaimed righteousness and holiness, how he lived it, and then how he has placed that responsibility as well as privilege upon you and I. Do you remember? You shall be holy, for I am holy. That's offensive to the world. Jesus has become a stone that people stumble over. In their rush to hell, they trip over the cross and get up and run towards the abyss. But the sacrifice of Jesus has become a stumbling block. Jesus does everything that he can do short of violating the gift of choice that he gave us to receive him or to reject him. He does everything he can to bring us to a point of forgiveness. Look at the rest of verse 8. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. Remember the message this morning? We looked at what Solomon had to say to his son in Proverbs chapter 3, the first 12 verses. And how the declaration is, look, if you remember these things, you place them in the front of your mind, you place them where you're always going to have access to them, you'll be blessed. There will be benefits. You know, this is exactly the same thing that he's talking about. He said, and people who reject that are rejecting God. And to this doom, they were also appointed. And then comes that wonderful little three-letter word, but. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him, him being Jesus, who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. As the people of God, we are blessed. as the people of God, we have responsibilities. As the people of God, we've been given the greatest gift that there could be, and that is the gift of God Himself to indwell us, to fill us with hope, to give us direction. Let's not reject the foundation of God. Let's stand. Our gracious Heavenly Father, please help us to honor You. Help us to honor You in everything that we do. Help us to honor You with our speech, with our thoughts. Help us to honor You with our lives so that we might be able to make an impact in this world in which we live. Please fill us with hope. Fill us with joy and with wisdom. And let us live a life that brings glory to Your name. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.